This is Brian Forrester, and welcome to the Active Investor Podcast, part of Lord Abbett's Investment Conversation Series. In this podcast, we look at what we view are some of the most relevant near-term and longer-term drivers in the markets, as well as strategies that can help investors navigate different challenges. And today we're talking fixed income, and more specifically, delving into what's going on in investment-grade corporate credit. And we have a pretty great guest today in Andy O'Brien. And so welcome, Andy.
Thank you. It's an interesting time in corporate credit, so I'm glad to be here discussing it with you.
Great. And Andy has probably gained most of his fame here at Lord Abbett and with our clients over the years with our short duration income strategy that has been such a great success. And that success has clearly continued into this year. But we wanted to dive in a bit on what now looks like a really interesting part of the market. And that's in the intermediate space and within IG, and then maybe even more specifically in the triple B segment. Andy, I know you have thought of this part of the market a lot as becoming really interesting lately.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think the main thing that people should pay attention to is just how income is back in this area. Mm. If you look back a couple of years ago, 2021, the average 10-year treasury yield in 2021 was less than 1.5%.
Right.
So if you were investing in intermediate corporate credit, maybe you were getting something in the mid to low 2% range. Not really all that compelling. Now, if you're invested in intermediate corporate credit, high quality stuff, you can get close to 6%, maybe even a little bit more than 6%, depending on what you're doing. And so that's a real opportunity. It's the most yield that we've had in the category since before the global financial crisis. That's a great time for people to rethink their asset allocation. Did you have more money in cash simply because there wasn't enough yield to make sense for you to kind of put it into the market? Or on the other side, were you taking more risk than maybe you really needed to, buying either lower quality or less liquid, more complicated investments because you needed the extra yield? You can do a lot with plain vanilla, high quality corporate bonds now, and really want to make sure people understand just how yieldy that opportunity set is now.
Yeah, I mean the bond math has just changed so dramatically in just a couple of years. So let me just back up for a second here and just briefly introduce Andy and his background a little bit. He's been with the firm for over 25 years. He is a partner and a portfolio manager on a number of fixed income strategies. And I would add just an all-around nice guy too. But there's also a pretty fiery intensity to Andy as well. And I think you'll hear that today. And I think we'll get some good thoughts here on what Andy is thinking about when it comes to what's looking really attractive now. And you heard a little bit of that passion just a minute ago. But also about the risks out there. So first, Andy, let me ask you, what got you into investing in the first place? And, you know, why fixed income? And then what about Lord Abbett caught your attention?
Yeah, certainly. And I remember growing up looking at the stock market. You know, that was the first introduction to investing for me, and thinking, "Wow, there's so many different companies, and what are they all doing, and how do they do it?" And reading the Peter Lynch books, kind of his introduction to investing, and how even a regular person over the course of their daily life can just go around and evaluate opportunities, kind of invest in what you know and right. Understand the things that you see. And that was very interesting to me, and ended up in fixed income just because I enjoyed the more quantitative nature of the fixed income asset class. So kind of got into it that way, and ended up at Lord Abbett really because of the culture. Really liked the people that I met when I first interviewed here, and really liked the focus on being client first. Putting together great performance, but always keeping in mind, what do the clients want? What are the clients trying to do with this part of their portfolio? And that really has been a great fit for me.
Right. That's awesome. So when you look at what's happened since COVID and since the massive rate move that we've seen, how are you and your team thinking about fixed income? And I mean, there's a lot of worry about recession. Is the Fed done? Will we have rate cuts next year? Are defaults going to explode? A lot of worries, right? And, you know, there's also a lot of income to be had right now in fixed income. So there's a lot of things to balance right now. So how are you thinking about it?
Well, I am a fixed income person, so I do start with the things that I'm worried about, and I have a very long list of those. But you have to balance that with the good things that are going on. And so, yeah, we're going from an environment. The third quarter growth was very strong. We had more than 5% growth as measured by GDP. That's definitely slowing down in the fourth quarter, but doesn't appear to be slowing down to a recession. So, thinking about growth there, yes, slowing, but not to recessionary levels, and that's not great. But if we can get 1-2% growth, that's still growth, and that's something to be happy about. Right. On the other side of that, though, is the inflation picture. That was really the main concern, and why the Fed has been so aggressive here is inflation was just too darn high. We saw PCE, which is really their preferred measure, above 5.5% last year. That's cooled off to right around 3.5% in a pretty quick time. It's one of the most rapid slowdowns in inflation that we've seen in history, and that's a real testament to the job that the Fed has done, I think. And so, yes, the economy is slowing, but inflation has come down a lot, and so the Fed doesn't really need to be as aggressive. They can take a pause here, maybe take 2024 off, not do anything at all, and that's a great environment for credit. You know, some growth and a little bit of inflation, but not too much of either. Mm-hmm. It's a great environment for quality credit to perform. You can focus on the income generating potential of that asset class and just kind of carry your way through the year. So that's something that I would really highlight as what to be happy about, just that things have slowed down but not overshot, and we can just focus on earning these new higher yields that the Fed has given us.
So that's like a Goldilocks view of credit?
Yeah, and certainly there's the potential that, you know, maybe inflation stays stubbornly high and the Fed has to hike again, or maybe the economy cools a little bit and growth is a little bit more sluggish, or maybe even we tip into recession. Right. But I'd say corporate America is in general very healthy. If we did go into a recession, it would be with very solid balance sheets, and there's no reason to expect that it would be a severe kind of prolonged recession. In addition, the upside of the Fed having raised rates so many times is they've got plenty of room to cut now if they need to. So not our expectation, but I think even if we did get into some difficult economic times, between the solid balance sheets that we see in corporate America and the flexibility that the Fed has with lower inflation and plenty of room to cut, I think that's reason to think it might not be a terrible outcome.
Yeah, they have a lot more of those traditional tools to use again. Okay, so digging in a little more now to IG corporate credit, you and I have talked a lot in the past year about what is so attractive in the triple B segment of intermediate corporate credit. So maybe can you get into how you think about this space from an investment perspective?
Sure. And the vast majority of the investment grade corporate bond market is single A's and triple B's. You know, there's a few triple A and double A issuers out there, but really it's a single A and triple B market. And so if you think about the difference between the two, single A companies are better credits than triple B companies. You know, they're higher rated. So as you go from single A investments to triple B corporate bond investments, you are taking a little bit more risk, but you're still in an investment grade asset class. You know, triple B companies are still investment grade, very low default rates. And so, yes, your risk is going up a little bit, but the extra income you earn, the extra spread you earn for going from single A to triple B really more than compensates you for the incremental risk, because the incremental risk is just not that great. So that's really the historical appeal of triple Bs, is a little bit more risk than single A's, but even more income there, and so that that combination there leads us to favor triple B's over time. In addition, in the triple B space, you're able to look over and see what's going on in the high yield market. So triple B is kind of on the cusp of on the border between investment grade and high yield. So an opportunity to look at rising stars coming out of the high yield market, maybe names that take a little while to get adopted into the investment grade market when they cross over. So you have an opportunity there. And you also tend to find smaller companies, things that are less followed, maybe some inefficiencies there, things that aren't as well understood. So still investment grade, but maybe just not as large and well known as some of their A-rated peers. And that's an opportunity for the active professional investor to try and go out, find those opportunities and take advantage of the compelling ones.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to sort of do an elevator pitch right now and like just kind of explaining why now is such an attractive moment to look at this space and to, you know, perhaps allocate here if you haven't been here before, what might that be?
I really would focus on the change in yields, how much we've changed since 2021. Income is back, and thanks to higher yields and still healthy spreads, you can really get a lot through plain vanilla traditional bond investing that you really haven't been able to do since before the global financial crisis. And so if you haven't looked at your fixed income allocation or your broader asset allocation and take into account what you can do in very simple, high quality, sleep at night type investment opportunities, it's really worth revisiting that right now.
Great. Thanks, Andy. So just a couple more questions here. And thinking about the year ahead, you know, thinking about your positioning, any industries that you are, you know, particularly favoring right now?
Yeah, we particularly like electric utilities, and that's really driven by valuations. There's been a tremendous amount of supply, a lot of bonds issued by electric utilities, and spreads have widened there so that to help the market absorb the supply. It's just been a lot of issuance for the market to digest. High supply is a sign to be wary or something that you should be paying attention to and concerned about. Mm-hmm. If you think back to 2006, a lot of subprime issuance there, subprime residential mortgage issuance there. And that was an indication that standards were loose and kind of bad things were going on. The supply in electric utilities right now is actually very different though. There's a real focus on becoming more environmentally friendly. And so utilities are spending a lot of money to build more environmentally friendly generation, so wind power, solar power, things like that. In addition, making the transmission grid more efficient and all good things, all things that get put into the rate base. So these are regulated entities. They make these investments and are kind of guaranteed a return on them. So not speculative projects at all. Mm. But there's just a lot of them. You think every utility in America and plenty overseas is issuing bonds to make these investments and takes a little bit of time for all that to be absorbed. And so for us, you know, a nice non-cyclical regulated industry coming in attractive spreads, that's a great fit. And it will take some time for the supply to clear up and all these bonds to get absorbed. But it's not the scary kind of supply. Happy to take the higher yields and wait for all this to pass through the system.
Right. Okay. And we talked about in the beginning that we would touch on some of the risks. You've talked a little bit about some of the macro risks. What about in particular industries? Any areas that are concerning you there or areas you're staying away from?
Yeah, we're trying to avoid consumer cyclicals. Our base case is not that we're going to have a recession, but we've really seen this phenomenon in the last couple of years where inflation has been healthy, but it's more been on the kind of the consumption side rather than the wage side. So the gasoline in your car, or the food at the supermarket, or the other things that you buy are going up in price, but wages haven't been going up in the same way. And even though everyone in America seems to have a job, you know, employment is still really strong. Being able to afford the things it used to afford is not as easy as it had been. And so this environment where the consumer feels stretched, even though we're not in a recession and even though employment is strong, we think is likely to kind of remain a feature of the economy. And so trying to stay away from the consumer, even though we don't expect a recession, just recognizing the pressure that they're under and maybe not wanting to take the chance that if we do get a recession, things could get even worse. That's really the main thing that we're focused on avoiding in our corporate investments right now.
Yeah. You know, we've mentioned the R word a couple of times and, you know, that if we have a recession, it would likely be a shallow one. You and your team manage a corporate credit portfolio, an intermediate term corporate credit portfolio. You know, thinking about performance expectations for that, if we did go into a shallow recession, what might that look like over, say, the next year or two?
Yeah, for a fixed income portfolio, recessions are often good times for total returns. You see yields moving lower in the expectation that the Fed might cut rates to support the economy. And so that would probably be something I'd expect is lower rates and positive returns from that. You can see credit spreads widen sometimes depending on how deep a recession you're expecting and how difficult things might get. I don't think there's any reason just looking at corporate balance sheets now, they're not particularly stressed. They're in good shape. And even if growth were to slow down, I think corporate America would get through a recession largely in good shape. So I don't think spread widening would be a huge concern, but you'd probably give some of the returns you got from lower rates back through wider spreads.
All right, great. So one last question, Andy. You know, in the financial press, the sky is always falling for one reason or another. A lot of what you hear now is that corporate credit is going to be deteriorating potentially a lot in the next year or two. So, you know, as you look at the IG space, you know, how are you seeing the health of balance sheets right now and just overall corporate credit?
You know, I think in a shallow recession, I don't think corporate credit needs to deteriorate a lot, but it's important to look at where we're starting from in addition. And corporate America is in generally pretty good shape right now. If you look on the revenue side, revenues are denominated in nominal dollars. And thanks to the robust inflationary environment we've had, revenues are holding up just fine. It's been a pretty good time for revenue generation. The thing we've really been watching is margins, making sure that the higher cost companies are experiencing are getting passed on through their business. And we're generally seeing pretty strong margins, not a lot of places where people have been unable to pass the higher costs on. I mean, you could imagine 5 years ago, if your costs are going up and you go to your customers and say, I have to raise the prices I charge you, would be a very different environment. Now everybody understands, yeah, costs are going up. And so if my costs are going up, I get it. I'm more sympathetic and understanding. So I think that's really been just the inflationary environment has been helpful for preserving margins. Looking at the balance sheet, leverage is still pretty low. Corporate America is not particularly levered and has not been particularly aggressive in using the balance sheet for debt finance, share repurchase, or other things that might be a credit damaging. Maybe the one place you can point to where there's been a little deterioration has been on the coverage side. Interest coverage is down just with higher rates, but it's down from all-time kind of record high levels. When rates were as low as they were in 2021, of course, coverage measures were going to be very strong. And so rates have come up a lot. So coverage has declined. But it's important to remember, too, that a lot of companies have really locked in a lot of their long-term financing. There's a lot of 10-year and 30-year corporate bond issuance at attractive levels before the Fed started raising rates. And right. So if you look at all those $50 and $60 price 30-year corporate bonds out there, like those are things that were issued at really attractive times for the issuer. That's been a painful experience if you own those. But for a corporate treasurer, if you issued a 4.5% 30-year a couple of years ago, you've got that 4.5% rate locked in for a really long time. And a lot of companies did that. So not as concerning as maybe some as it would be for other markets that respond more quickly to changes in rates, but just something to keep in mind for investment grade.
Yeah. All right. Great. Good stuff. And so with that, I think we can wrap things up. And I'll just say thank you, Andy, for joining the podcast. Some really interesting insights on fixed income investing and what may really be an interesting opportunity in corporate credit in the coming years. Definitely look forward to having you back in to check in.
There's a lot going on, so look forward to coming back and talking about it some more.
Great. Thanks again, Andy. And for listeners wanting to learn more about Lord Abbott's views on the markets, please visit our insights section of lordabbott.com. We actually have a new published article on investment-grade corporate credit that touches on a lot of what we discussed here today. Quick commercial as well. We also have an upcoming Year Ahead webinar, our 2024 Investment Outlook, that highlights Lord Abbott's thinking on the broad markets and investing in the year ahead. So be on the lookout for an invite to that. And lastly, we'd also like to hear from our listeners. So if you have any comments about today's podcast or ideas for future podcasts, we welcome your thoughts and email podcasts@lordabbott.com. And so we'll leave it there. This has been the Active Investor Podcast, and thank you for listening.
The U.S. Federal Reserve, or Fed, is the central bank of the United States. The federal funds, or Fed funds rate, is a target interest rate set by the Fed at which commercial banks borrow and lend their excess reserves to each other overnight. A rising star is a bond that is rated below investment grade but has the potential to become investment grade because of improvements in the issuing company's credit quality. Spread is the percentage difference in current yields of various classes of fixed income securities versus treasury bonds or another benchmark bond measure. Yield is the income returned on an investment, such as the interest received from holding a security. The yield is usually expressed as an annual percentage rate based on the investment's cost, current market value, or face value. References to interest rate moves are based on Bloomberg data. The credit quality of fixed income securities in a portfolio is assigned by a nationally recognized statistical rating organization, such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, or Fitch, as an indication of an issuer's creditworthiness. Ratings range from AAA, highest, to D, lowest. Bonds rated BBB or above are considered investment grade. Credit ratings BB and below are lower rated securities, also known as junk bonds. Mentions of specific companies are for reference purposes only and are not meant to describe the investment merits of, or potential or actual portfolio changes related to, securities of those companies. Unless otherwise noted, all discussions are based on U.S. markets and U.S. monetary and fiscal policies. Market forecasts and projections are based on current market conditions and are subject to change without notice. Projections should not be considered a guarantee. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker as of the date of the broadcast and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market or other conditions, and Lord Abbott disclaims any responsibility to update such views. This material is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice. It is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. None of the information provided should be regarded as a suggestion to engage in or refrain from any investment-related course of action, as neither Lord Abbott nor its affiliates are undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or give advice in a fiduciary capacity. This broadcast is the copyright 2023 of Lord Abbott & Company, LLC. All rights reserved. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or in any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor, LLC. Additional information on this podcast, along with an edited transcript, may be obtained by visiting lordabbott.com.